Jacob Van Rolters, running for the Liberal Democratic Party in the Mayo electorate. The Malang resident who hails from the hills is an arborist and libertarian who stands by the motto of his party to deliver less government and more freedom. He joins me now. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning to you and your listeners, Jenny. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. So tell us what's motivated you to run this year.
Well, just watching all our freedoms get slowly taken away over the years, not just with the pandemic, but just before that too, running a business in the hills for the last 30 years, watching all the regulations and the taxes increase and get tighter and tighter. Just sort of slowly got on under my skin until finally I decided to see if I could do something about it.
Right. So what does an ideal society with less government look like to you?
A society with less coercion, so less bullies telling you what to do, less people telling you you got to pay money and go to jail, and basically where relationships have more voluntarism and less coercion in them. I think that would be a better society.
What do you think, though, of the fact that we do have this social contract, but not everyone can always be trusted to do the right thing?
Sure. I don't think we should we should deal with the one person who does the wrong thing rather than limiting the freedoms of everyone, 99% of them, who are doing the right thing. And that's what I think has been the problem. One person does the wrong thing and it gets used as an excuse to take everyone's freedoms away.
As a business owner, how has the pandemic and government interference affected you?
I've been lucky because I'm an outdoor worker, but I just feel a great deal of sympathy for all the businesses, particularly the hospitality businesses and my friends who have lost their jobs for not wanting to take the jab. I mean, personally, I've been quite fortunate because the government's been splashing so much money around and no one's been allowed to travel, so everyone's been spending it around their houses. So tradies like me have been quite fortunate that it is an illusion, and what the government's doing is, of course, going to bite everyone in the bum, which we see now in rising house prices and grocery prices.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting that you mentioned that you sort of have been supported by government assistance. You know, I'm sure a lot of businesses were impacted by some control from government during the pandemic, but having that JobKeeper packages for businesses and things like that, that could be arguably an area where government control and support actually keeps the economy and businesses afloat.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's been very, very dangerous, Jenny, and we're going to see what happens. The inflation's already starting to creep in, and housing affordability has gone way beyond the reach of young people, and I think it's quite sad, you know. And it's a mistake because the government didn't have to spend all that extra money, because if people weren't spending their money going and travelling and going out to sort of pubs and hotels and restaurants anyway, they would have spent that money in other areas. So it was a false way of thinking, and I think it's going to result in some pretty harsh economic times not too far down the track.
What do you propose should be done when it comes to housing prices? How would you like to see the rising cost and unaffordability of housing addressed?
Well, that's a big issue. Well, we can start by not doing some of the things that we've done lately, like don't flood the economy and the stock market with printed money, which just created money, which just ends up sort of going into the housing market and the stock market and inflating things. So that'd be one way to not do what we've done. The other way is we've really, in a country this size, there's no reason why people shouldn't be able to afford a house and a decent sized block of land. And we've got to really have a look at how the zoning works and how the councils control everything. If I can return to the basic principle of, more freedom, less government.
There's a lot of corporate welfare and welfare out there for people who are already pretty well off. So, for example, there's things like negative gearing, which makes it more affordable for someone with multiple properties to continue on, especially if that property isn't occupied. Do you think things like that should be wound back?
Well, certainly corporate welfare and middle-class welfare, there's no need for that. As far as negative gearing goes, I'm not really across all the ins and outs of that issue. But of course, we need homeowners, but we also need people who are prepared to buy properties for rental, because that helps keep the rental market affordable. So we've got to think about that side of it too. So yeah, not 100% sure we should get rid of negative gearing, but certainly, we need to free up the housing market.
With me at the moment is Jacob Van Rolter. He's running for the Liberal Democratic Party in Mayo this federal election. Do you think we should abolish Medicare and pay out of pocket for health instead?
Well, that's a big subject. I do have some sympathies for that point of view. I don't know. We should obviously, with the whole thing that Medicare and Social Security and that, you can't really abolish these things overnight. It'd be a disaster. But we do have to look carefully and maybe sort of look at perhaps during the back. How back in the 70s and 80s, 80% of people seem to have private health insurance. So it's obviously not that unaffordable to go that way. I mean, you could argue that Medicare and the public health systems in a lot of countries seem to have become quite expensive and not really a cheap option. And maybe we should look after other ways of helping people who can't afford private health insurance.
Oh, what do you mean, though? Because like looking to countries like America, where they do have private health, it still costs a lot for someone who has private health to be able to get surgery or give birth or something like that. So,
I'm not sure. I don't think America is a very a good example, because once again, it might be private, but it's a highly regulated system, which is controlled by Big Pharma and a few companies and that. So perhaps you should look more at how... say the veterinary industry or the dental industry in Australia actually offers quite a cost-effective and competitive service for people, and we should be looking at more at it would be a disaster for example, as some people are calling for to bring dentistry under Medicare. I wouldn't be in favour of that at all.
In terms of financially, the economy.
Yeah. No, I think that if you bring things under government control, they tend to get worse and more restrictive and more expensive. I mean, a lot of us in the lockdowns, we really haven't, those of us who haven't taken the jab, we haven't had a Medicare system anyway, because they don't want to see us in the hospitals, and they insist if we need an operation or something, they insist we get jabs. So we've all been cut out of the system. So a lot of people, Medicare doesn't work for anymore.
I can imagine being incredibly well off and self-dependent and self-reliant I can see why the idea of cutting down government, cutting down taxes, things like that would be appealing. What about people who are vulnerable, who are on the fringes and like struggling to survive? Do you think that they should be supported in any way?
Oh, absolutely. I think we should absolutely support them. But there's a difference between actually supporting someone and forcing other people to support them through the tax system, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, when people say we should support the poor, yeah, let's go support the poor. But, that's different from saying someone else support the poor. Expecting government to do it is kind of like wiping our hands of our responsibilities.
So is there a better way?
Yeah, help the poor rather than expecting government to relieve us of our responsibilities. I mean, there's all sorts of better ways. I can't list them all now, but some of the things that we've forgotten that we used to do in the past is take responsibility for the people who are near and dear to us. I remember growing up in the 70s and 80s, and we didn't just shove our old folks in nursing homes. We might have to in the end, but we tend to do things like build granny flats out the back for them, which is hard these days with all the council planning and regulations and stuff like that. Whereas these days, I think that we've been encouraged to... to hand over our responsibilities to government, because these snake oil salesmen have come along and said, you don't have to worry about looking after your old folks, bung them in the nursing home. You don't have to worry about looking after your unemployed son. You know, we'll give them benefits. So I think we've forgotten how to truly take responsibility for us and our nearest and dearest ones in our local communities.
So you think it should be up to individuals and communities to do things like that rather than government imposing taxes?
Correct.
Mm. Okay. Is there anything else that you wanted to say or priorities you have for the region or changes you'd like to see?
No, I would just ask people to think about the libertarian message that government is essentially a coercive body. I mean, they can't actually do anything, these politicians who make promises to provide this or that or give you money for this or that. But they don't actually have any money, they don't have any skills. All they can do is threaten to throw you in jail and if you don't want to fund it, essentially.
Well, I appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Jenny.